This is Jerome Ostentowski. Welcome to the Living Permaculture Show. We have a special guest, Michael Polarski. We've had him on the show before. Michael's been a longtime permaculture teacher and event organizer. And we're going to talk about an upcoming an event that's going on in Montana this on the 1st of August. And welcome to the show again, Michael.
Hi, Jerome. Glad to be back.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about the conference that's coming up, the three-day conference at the Hot Springs?
Yeah, it's in Hot Springs, Montana, Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 3rd, coming right up. And we're real excited. We've got this famous permaculturist, nationally known permaculturist, coming named Jerome Ostentowski.
Oh, really?
The keynote speaker. And we got him all the way from Colorado. So anyway, we're thrilled that you're coming, Jerome, and doing some workshops on greenhouses and on your new book that you're writing on the perennial economy. I'm excited to hear more about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. And you've been, how many, is this the seventh national conference that you've hosted over there?
Inland Northwest Permaculture Convergence. So this is our seventh one for the Inland Northwest. That's Eastern Washington, Idaho, Montana, Eastern Oregon. So it's a very a certain area, but it's a huge area. There's a lot of country here, and we have, the permacultures are not as thick here as like in places like Boulder, Colorado, for instance. Colorado's had so many courses over the years. It really has, Colorado's a really, I know it's a big state for permaculture. People being all over the landscape is.
And we were thinking of having the conference here. We did have the state conference at my place and its sustainable settings a couple of years ago, but maybe one of these times we could host this conference in Colorado if that would be something you'd be interested in.
Last time we were thinking of hosting the North American Permaculture Convergence in Colorado, and we ended up in California because we had some people there that wanted to do it. But I helped, as you know, I helped organize the first North American Permaculture Convergence back in 2014, and then in 2016 they had the second. So I also organized the Northwest Permaculture Convergences off and on as well. So I'm involved in organizing two regional and one national convergence. And so it's fun. You get to meet a lot of great permaculture people.
Well, the other thing, you've been organizing a lot of barter fairs and herb workshops over the last 20 years or so. Can you talk a little bit about that experience of what you've been doing there with those conferences, gatherings?
Well, in my way of thinking, if you get people together, they're more likely to revolt. if we all stay in our little isolated silos, as they say, it's hard to figure out how to work together to help the situation. As most people out there, most listeners are aware, we're kind of in a dire straits in our current USA empire phase, and we need a lot more people working on alternatives and sustainable systems. And so when you get people together on natural, or centered around natural healing or permaculture or bartering or, you know, just new economies, lots of things start happening. So I put on these big events so that people can meet each other and network and foment a revolt against the powers that be.
Well, that's true, and that's. I wanted to talk a little more about this, but part of the show we're going to talk about something that you're looking to do at the next presidential. We're going to have a permaculture president running for the presidency.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to start work on that real soon, here, Jerome. I actually just had the idea just 2 days. You know, I think it was yesterday or the day before, the permaculture presidential platform. We don't necessarily need the candidate right now. What we need is a really sensible platform that most Americans will look at and say, hey, that looks like a pretty darn good platform, a lot better than what the other parties are offering us. So we want to delineate and what are the best policies in agriculture, economics, in the Department of Defense, et cetera. There's all these aspects to our life, the healthcare system. What would the people like to see? So I'm going to be making proposals for this platform, and I'm going to put them up there, and I'm going to invite hundreds of other people, eventually thousands and tens of thousands of people, to read through the platform as it stands and add what they'd like to see. I mean, I imagine there could be chat rooms under different ones, but anybody can add to the mix, and we're looking for something that's based on the permaculture principles and the permaculture kind of ways of thinking, which is basically sustainability. So if we put all those listed up on the web in some way, people can vote on which of those parts of the platform they like. You don't have to swallow the whole platform. The way it is these days in politics, if you pick the Democrats, you got to like basically swallow their platform. But in this case, you can pick which parts you want to support or indicate support for and which ones you don't. So eventually, we could find out what a lot more people think, what people think is sensible. And so the people's showing us will, in a sense, indicate and show which one of the policies are really going to get the popular support. And so, in a sense, it's a populist way of getting a platform. So anyway, I'm all excited about this, and so you'll hear more about it eventually.
Well, are we going to be talking about this and having some forums at the conference coming up, probably?
People can will be taking suggestions, ideas for the platform at the event, and just be at the end of it. We should have a pretty good start. You know, if we get let's say 100 people even to contribute a few ideas. It'll get big pretty fast. And economics is one of the things that we'll want to talk about. And, you know, of course, one of my first thoughts is I would like to abolish the Federal Reserve. So that's going to go on there and see how many people vote for that. Mm-hmm. But you're doing something on working on economic ideas. So we'll want to draw on your perspective, too. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I think we need to design an economy, and it's going to be the perennial economy, let's call it that, that's designed and mimics the natural forest systems, the natural systems that we have in our world that work. And obviously, you know, we've gone way to the right now, and it's time to swing back. And it's not something new. We've had other candidates, David Kucinich. He's put forth a lot of good ideas. We would not have the Secretary of War, but we would have a Secretary of Peace. Why don't we have some fun with this? Why don't we let's come up with a cabinet? You know, I know it's a little early, but let's just have some fun with this. If we brought in some of the people have had good ideas in the past four or five elections. We could start with Elizabeth Warner as president, and we could come up with a vice president. We could have David Kucinich. You have any other ideas of where we'd go with that?
I thought of Jim Hightower for,
Oh, exactly.
Tagged as part of the Department of Agriculture.
Exactly. We could put him back there. And I was thinking of maybe just having Amy Goodman as the press secretary. That would be an interesting thing. And then when they had their annual dinner, she would be the comedian that would be at the annual dinner. So, I mean, it'd be 180 degrees from what we have now, but I think we need to shake it up and present some real alternatives.
Yeah, I think the American public actually, the majority of them actually support some reasonable alternatives to the current status quo. So I don't have much doubt that there's a lot of support for this kind of thought. There's a couple of things I wanted to talk about. If I could have a few minutes on
that. Yes.
So one of the things you asked me the other day is, what have you been up to lately? And so I'd just like to throw out a couple of things to your listeners here. I'm doing a lot of work these days on medicinal herb production and polyculture systems. I have my latest planting is a quarter acre, and I have 100 species of plants on it. You know, and this it's only 4 months old. So I'm putting a lot of species in here, and I'm, you know, getting really good production in the first year. Now, I read a book just recently. It's called The Scientific Basis for Intercropping in Indigenous Agriculture. And so it looked at worldwide situations, and they compared monoculture yields in certain areas with the yields of polycultures grown in the same, you know, right in the same neighborhood. So they were comparing really close by. And the polycultures could be simple, like corn and soybeans growing together, or pepper understory under an overstory tree. So as soon as they started mixing up these polycultures, the yields of the two combined always, or almost always, out-yielded the monoculture alone. And the factor, and they did a lot of number crunching on this, and this is looking at hundreds and hundreds of examples from around the world, that usually a low range is 1.2. In other words, you have 1.2 the production in it than if you had just one of them alone. 1.7 is, all the way up to 1.7 is pretty common, and 1.7 is getting good system. And some of the best get up to 2 times the production. And so what the book made the point of at the end, they said, look, the reason there's hunger in the world isn't because we have, that industrial monoculture systems are not helping feed the world. They're actually reducing the world productive capacity. So monocultures are always, pretty much always, outperformed by polycultures. So we need world agriculture to feed the world's people, in a sense, to up production, and to have a better ecological systems. We need polycultures over a monoculture.
Well, that's what carbon farming, the new book that's out on carbon farming.
Eric Tonesmeyer's book?
Yes, and he was an intern at my placement. And we also were both speakers at an agroforestry conference in Virginia Tech. He was a keynote speaker, and I was a speaker, and we had a chance to be on the bus on field trips. And so basically what's really encouraging is that the universities are bringing in young permaculture people, or younger people, permaculture people, with ideas about polycultures and agroforestry and carbon farming. And his new book could be the textbook for how to lay this out across the world. And and I think it would be, I mean, just my experience now, many years I've been doing an herb tincture business as an understory for my forest garden, indoors and outdoors. And I walk by my St. John's wort that I have in front of one of my greenhouses. It not only brings in the pollinators and the bees that go into the greenhouse and pollinate other things, but, you know, I've done about 2 gallons of St. John's wort tincture already this year. And Spilanthes, I do more than that. And we have nettles, we have maybe a dozen other herbs or more that we grow there and tincture. And so when polycultures have so many different yields, are so resilient, so you're not just relying on one thing. And usually one thing is doing more than one thing. So the St. John's wort and all the other herbs that are next to the greenhouse, they're biological islands. They harbor beneficial insects. They promote the honeybees and all the other wild bees, and they also promote butterflies, but they also produce a crop, a yield that you can sell, and it's value-added. So it's kind of like seeds, like Don Tipping, he has, you know, he promotes people to grow a seed crop in addition to their vegetable crop, because that's another yield. So perennial systems are very flexible, they're very resilient, and they're really a good way to go. And it's most of the data is out there that, and a lot of farmers are picking up on this, and they're getting into seed production, into all kinds of multi Stratus. I was just listening to David Jackie's podcast last night about and Mark Krakowicz. They were talking about growing black locusts instead of just grass, and doing a polyculture or a silviculture, where you would go in and plant black locusts, and then in 15 years or 10 years, you could sell the posts for $15 a piece or $20 a piece. You could still graze on that land. So you have another yield. So these systems, and you also have the shade for the animals. And you have the pods for the animals to eat. So the it just keeps coming full circle when you do polycultures.
Yeah, so here's another thought, Jerome, I think, when I was got on that train of thought. When it comes to doing polycultures, I think permaculture is turning out some of the best people on the world, because we are synthesizing polyculture systems from around the globe. That's one thing permaculture has been really good at. With, since we're in all these countries, people are researching all these polycultures, and we spend a lot of time researching polycultures. I have tons of books on it. I've done lots of experiments, and so it's really easy, you know, or it's fun for me to put together polyculture systems. I'm an expert on it. And permaculture produces some of our best polyculture experts, because we're the synthesis of international knowledge on the topic. And not every permaculturist is an expert by any means, but it's something that should be any worthy permaculturist goal, is to become a proficient in their polyculture prowess in growing and designing polyculture systems. So it's one of the reasons I'm proud to, you know, actually be part of the permaculture movement, and with people like you, Jerome, and all those other great people out there. And I wanted to tell your listeners that if not many of them are going to get to Hot Springs, Montana, you're probably mainly in Colorado, but maybe some of you have friends in Montana or Idaho or Eastern Washington that might want to come to this permaculture convergence, listen to Jerome and all the other people there, so they can find out at, they can just go for Inland Northwest Permaculture Convergence, and they'll find it. So I just want to invite everybody to alert their friends in case you get a couple more folks there.
And watch, right? And they can look at the website. There's, it's all laid out of what's going to happen during that time. And you mentioned that if we do a workshop on the day after, we'd be working with a Native American group that has a greenhouse there that we might be able to partner with and use that as sort of a backdrop for our workshop.
Yeah. I just talked to Bud Papen today. He's a Salish Native American there, and he's been promoting permaculture for decades on the res. And, you know, it's been a hard sell, but, you know, having you come and do something specifically on greenhouses, he says he's going to be out there inviting tribal people to attend and see if they can, you know, because they have hot water. They have the rights to a bunch of this hot water here in Hot Springs, Montana, and so they can have these hot water geothermal heated greenhouses. But, boy, I tell you, many of these Native people here are farmer types, and so we have to make it as easy as possible and successful. They need they need some help here, Jerome. So I'm hoping that you're gonna you'll help them with this, and it'll give them something to look at, come up with some design ideas that the tribe, and hopefully then that the tribe can run with and do something. We'll find out.
Well, let's do that. And also, you know, with geothermal, you know, you really don't need the clam batter technology, but we can definitely talk about that with for people who don't have geothermal. But, you know, with geothermal, you could make a hoop house pretty resilient, almost probably Mediterranean, if you did some insulation. We do some retrofit.
That's what you're going to be helpful with, Jerome. One thing, they really need to know how to work with the soil and build the soil in there, because the substrate is bad. And so they need the whole soil part of it. And also putting together those polycultures for inside that greenhouse. What can they put in there that will, you know, make it productive and function well?
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll have some good ideas.
Well, I just finished putting in 10 new tropical fruiting trees and about 5 new nitrogen fixing trees in my greenhouse. So I kind of waited a little too long, a couple of years, to kind of go in and replant. I had really good success for about 6 years. Then the yields went down, and so now I've gone in and cut down coppiced some Lucayena that were about 5 inches in diameter to open up the canopy and bring in new mangoes, some different passion fruit and custard apples and cherimoya and Brazilian cherries. So I've got a whole new plant palette to experiment with now. It'll take about 3 years for those to fruit again, but I had a very, very productive first 5 years, and so that's part of the succession of any system. I just waited a couple of years too long, but we continue to build soils, and with mulching and mycelium and all kinds of shredders and worms, basically our whole place is a worm farm. And we run every carbon through the animals and then bring it into the worm farms or use it as mulch. So these are the systems I can talk about there. And most of the carbon is free. It's being thrown away or not being used properly. And so I'm looking forward to doing some stuff with big bales of hay that can be rolled out and use the sheep mulch. You can use that and make big worm farms. And we do cold composting. And so basically, if you just stick your hand in our soils, you'll grab a whole handful of worms and worm castings, and then we just put them back in and cover them back up and keep them moist and keep them. I also use my pond water a lot now. Pond water is basically right borderline anaerobic. By using it for watering the greenhouse, and I keep aerating and also putting fresh water in it, I only have two ducts. But those two ducts actually put a huge amount of nutrients into the pond water.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a free nutrient source. So I don't really have to even make compost tea right now because I have pond water that's just ready to be used, and it pumps three times as fast as the other source of water I have. So those are the things we can talk about. Anyway, the lay of the land there, it's Hot Springs is only about 400 people, so it should be really quiet there.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a small town centered around these hot springs. Limp in and leap out is our motto there. And so it's a small town, and they need there needs to be more diversity there. So, So this reminds me of a time when I gardened with out of a trout pond. They had a lot of trout in there, lots of other life forms. That was a rich brew, and it got relative, warm enough that when we put it on plants, I kind of considered it IV feeding, because they got a daily dose of this nutrient-rich water, and I grew some of the biggest plants I've ever grown there.
Right. You're also... one of your organizations is Friends of the Trees, and we only have a couple of minutes, so why don't you give us some contacts for some of the other things that you do. You've written several books on agroforestry, and what's the contact information for the Friends of the Trees?
Yeah. The website has the stuff, so friendsofthetrees.net, pretty simple.
Okay.
I'm Friends of the Trees Society. Make sure you put the "the" in there because you'll go to Friends of Trees in Portland. You want friendsofthetrees.net.
And then the website for the upcoming conference again is?
Basically, it's http://inlandnorthwestpermaculture.
Okay.
So that's the actual. And .com. That's .com. Inland Northwest Permaculture.
Right. If anybody's interested, they can always call us at 927-4158 and or email us at jerome@crmpi.org. And we're picking a lot of figs now and grapes indoors, and jujubes coming up. We have cherries, and we're going to be doing some pear orcharding over in Paonia. We're going to harvest 40 pear trees over there, so we're looking for people to help us with that. And we're going to get them back over here on this side of the valley and distribute them to people who can eat them instead of having the deer eat them. So I think we're about wrapped up here. So I'll be looking forward to coming there, and I'll be coming around about noon. I'll tell you about my ETA there.
Okay.
So we'll have Stephanie back next month, and I was really fortunate to get you on the show today, and I've been thinking about having some of the old permaculture people that have been on the show, Peter Bain, and just kind of, you know, before we all move on, we should be, people should start getting a chance to listen to what's going on.
Yeah, well, I'm pleased to share with you, Jerome, and with your listenership out there. Remember to plant those polycultures and get together with other like-minded people so that we can get some change going. All right.
Exactly. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye, Jerome. Take care.